Praise the Lord. Happy to be out. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer this morning as we start the service. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessed opportunity, Lord, once again it is. Lord, we feel so blessed, Lord, for all Your blessings to us this morning. Lord, Your freely given of Your Word to us, Your revelation. And Lord, we cry out greatly again this morning, Lord, to reveal Your Word to us. Lord, let us sing these revelations, the songs from the depths of our heart to You this morning. Lord, we ask You to have Your way in everything that's said and done this morning in this service. We'll give You all the glory and honor due unto You. In the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Got a little course on page 282 of The Only Believe. I'd like to sing this morning. I'm reaching out to You, Lord. Amen. I'm reaching out to You, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to You. I know Your arm is not too short, and You can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into Your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like You just by reaching out to You. Amen. Oh, I'm reaching out to You, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to You. I know as I pray and press my way into Your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like You just by reaching out to You. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, I'm reaching out to You, dear Lord. I'm reaching out. Though Your arm is not too short, and You can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into Your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like You just by reaching out to You. Amen. Oh, I'll grow to be more like You just by reaching out to You. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what you're doing this morning, reaching out. Amen. Let Him grab your hand and pull you on in. Amen. I'd like to sing out a little chorus. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in You. Amen. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in You. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in You. With all life's frustration, I need You, and I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace that I have, hallelujah, amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Turn up little capstone books. Amen. Page 23. Think of all his blessings on you, saints. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. While the world looks upon me as I struggle, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, there's rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. Oh, there's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. You gave me your love, Lord. Amen. And he gave us a fine family right here. All the brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Thank you, Lord, so much. Amen. You ought to be so thankful, more than you've ever been in your life. The more you see he's done for you, the more you ought to be thankful. Amen. The more you ought to be thankful for your brothers and sisters around you. Amen. He's been good to us. Amen. Amen. Brother Amos, would you take up the offering?
Yeah, I'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm sure we can all say thank you, Lord,
yes,
for your blessings to us, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you for this opportunity once more you've given us, Lord, together with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord,
yes,
truly it is a grand opportunity, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the health and strength you've given us, Lord, a desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this day, Lord. May our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion you have this day, Lord. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. We ask that it'll be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask these things in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you. have a need upon our heart this morning. Amen. We ask Brother Paul if he'd take the request.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for just coming to you. Thanksgiving and praise, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us, Lord Jesus. Yes. And Lord, as we come before you, Lord, today with needs again that are running in this day, we just ask that you just come down and bless each and every one according to their need, Lord Jesus. And we know you're more than able, Father, and we just put our faith and our trust in you, Lord Jesus, this day now. And pray you just go with us this day and just bless the ministers and bring forth the word and just may it speak to our hearts and raise our faith, yes, Lord Jesus, and strengthen you. And Lord, may we grow spiritually in you each day here. We just ask that you just be with us this day now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a special this morning? Sister Grace.
Is only by his grace.
He will go forth in grace alone. You know he's going to take care of you? Amen. He's brought you this far. He's going to take you all the way. Let's all stand, if you will. As we ask our pastor to come this morning, let's sing that little chorus. Where he leads me, I will follow. Amen. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me,
just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we again gather here through your precious name, all the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that thy will be done this day as we wait on you to speak to our hearts through the Word of God. May we have our hearts open and may there be a desire burning on the inside that we long to hear your Word. And it's a desire that's so fresh, Lord, every day, constantly, that, Lord, we draw closer unto thee and have the desire to know thy ways, Lord. How we appreciate you so very much for giving us this opportunity today to again gather here and to have this opportunity to listen to the Word of God. And I ask now, Lord, that you'd open every heart and Father, help us to be able to remove anything that would be a distraction. The Father would be sitting very attentively to listen. For Lord, we know that it's one word. One word is all it takes. And it seems that the people, Lord, in this last days, it's so hard to find people that really is interested in that every word. But Lord, help each one of us here, Lord. We know your little bride, wherever she is on the earth, she will have that interest, Lord, of every word. So we pray now that you'd open our hearts, bless us as we commit ourselves unto thee. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's quite a blessing to be here again today, by his mercy and grace. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me, to Revelation 21:7. We read Thursday night for Revelation 3, but we want to read from Revelation 21 tonight, or this morning, and 7th verse. Amen. We kind of like just pick up where we was leaving off our Thursday evening. And again, just to remind you, as the prophet said, all of his promises are on condition. Is that right? Amen. You tired of me reminding you of that? Amen. I hope you ain't. Amen. All right, Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And may the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. My, it's a blessing to be his son, is it not? Amen. Just think of all the great inheritance that you have. Oh my, what belongs to you by being his son. And maybe sometimes we think, oh, praise God, you know, if I was his son, I shouldn't have to go through the things I go through. Well, yes, we do. You know, it's all for a purpose. And we'll read again this morning And we'll see again how this works in with what we've been bringing the last few weeks. And trusting that you will be desiring of it, even though you may hear some certain quote again. Amen. I trust that it'll become a part of you, where you'll see it in your own life, your own self, you'll see it living and expressing. You know, so many times and I'm sure as you sit there today, this morning, you're not blind. How many times have you seen people hear the word and quote the word, and it's not lived in their life, you know? But we trust today that if there's a portion of the word today that's not lived in your life, that the Holy Ghost will make it alive in your heart and bring it to life. So we want to read this here in Hebrews 5th chapter, if you want to turn with me. I'm just going to read it real quickly here because it will touch on it again a little later. The prophet will. Hebrews 5, and we'll read the 8th and 9th verse. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. My. Sounds like something, again, very simple. But it's, again, so meaningful and powerful if we can really understand these things that he has given. And you may wonder, well, why am I going to touch on some of these things this morning? I want everyone of you to remember something. Some of you sitting here has not been in the message and maybe don't know the things that some others do. So keep that in mind, you know. Sometimes we want to touch on things that will help those that have not really maybe heard the things you've heard or understood the things you've understood. And I always think about, you know, even how Jesus put it, how he left the 99 to go get that one, you know. So I never forget that. I always remember that. And, you know, it's in the physician. Who needs a physician if you're whole? You know? But if you need something, you need the physician, you know? So we're trusting God will feed you that word because it is nothing I can do. I can do nothing. I can only bring those things and present it back to you and bring it back to remembrance, as he has already said, and trusting the Holy Ghost will do his work in your life and what's needed, you see. So I'd like to read this quote one more time in Paul Prisoner and just refresh your mind to that in paragraph 181. Christ makes his prisoners of love his sons, and he gives them power. The same thing he had, see the same thing, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, see the works that I do, shall he do also. Even more than this shall he do. Now the prisoner of love of Christ becomes empowered by his King, who is Christ. Amen. And verily I say unto you, if you say unto this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you've said will come to pass, you'll have what you said. If you abide in me, and my word in you, if you're yoked to me, because him and his word is the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Same yesterday, today, and forever. If ye abide in me, not here, he says, not here and there, but abide in me. So in other words, don't leave anything out. Not just here and there, but abide in me. All right? My word in you, ask what you will or say what you will, it'll be done for you. He had power. Now keep that in mind this morning as we go into these things. Because every son, by God's grace, this belongs to them. This power. This is something that is by God's grace, his mercy. But again, it's under condition. There's something about it that God set it up that way. That if we do this, we'll be that. He'll have this preeminence in our life. He'll do this in our life. He'll control this. He'll have preeminence of that. And there's no one better that's better than him to have the control of our ship, our tabernacle, our flesh, that he could have the complete control of it in every circumstance, every test, every trial, every hardship, every persecution, every tribulation, everything that we go through, there's no one better to have control than him. Okay? So he says here, notice before he come out, he had to be taken out and shaved. A few things had to be shaved off before he could meet his king. Okay? Oh, God sometimes takes his people out like that and shaves a few of their own wills off and shows them that they can't do just what they wanted to do. And, you know, I think back of many things that I've been through personally. How through what God allotted to take place, how it shaved different things off of me. And to this day, I never forget. To this day, it's a living part of my life because of what's been shaved off and how it was shaved off. Sometimes shaved off in a way you thought, why? You know, how could this happen? And what? Why did this happen? But yet, God knew exactly what he was doing. The same thing he knows what he's doing in your life. We go through our problems. We go through tests and trials. And I'm sure there's nobody sitting here today, as I said last couple weeks ago. I'm sure everyone in here has had their problems. You've all had your tests, your trials, your troubles come up. But you've got to remember there's a purpose for it, you see. And we ought to be thankful for that. The scripture tells us we should be. All right? All right, let's go on. He says, you know what I mean? They're not in liberty to do what they want to do. Before they could come into the full power and be a low slave to Christ, they have to be shaved off and then presented. Sometimes he takes them to the desert to do that, to shave them off and to bring them out. Anointed one, he says, and bring them out, the anointed one, to fulfill the purpose that he's ordained them to be. See what I mean? So do we see what he means? Do we know what it's like to be shaved off? And not only just talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As Paul, he went to the desert, you know, and he got all Paul out, or all Saul out of him. And now he's Paul, you know, as the prophet mentioned. And he got all that past thoughts of way he thought of things all shaved off of him. Because he used to think altogether different. And how many times has God let these things happen in our lives so we'll think altogether different and think of it the way he thinks of? And sometimes, like I say, that takes a lot of suffering. It takes a lot of pressure, maybe a lot of hardships. But still today, you hear so much that when people go through their tests and trials and go through, and they still act like they don't understand why they're going through it. Why does this happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? And sometimes by not understanding, we get so, we could say it in a way, wrapped up in those tests and trials to where we become sad, we become despondent, we become discouraged, and we become a great letdown. And, oh, you know, I was feeling real good, and then this happens to me. Now I don't know what to do. See, people still don't really understand this. If they did, they wouldn't let that happen in their life. They would be able to fulfill the scripture where James spoke of the fiery test that is to try you. You see? All right? Being more precious than gold. He says here, I wonder tonight with our heads bowed if that ambition that we have and been something else or could have been something else or maybe is something that we might think and be a selfish thing. Wonder if we couldn't just kind of lay that aside. And I'm asking you this morning to lay that all aside. Of what you think you could be. Maybe what you want to be in this life as far as what earthly things are. I want you to lay it all aside. And just think about something this morning. Now I hope by God's grace you'll see a pattern come out of this. Okay? He says, I wonder if some young boy here tonight look around and say, I'm going to be this when I get big, you know. When I get my license, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, you know. Wonder if you could just feel the will of God move in your life. Wonder if you just feel that. And say, no, my ambitions are lost now. I wonder if we all could do that. Maybe some of the ambitions even us older folks may have. I wonder if we could do that. You see? You know, some people's ambitions is they can't wait to retire, and then they're going to do this, and they're going to do that in this hour. But what are you going to miss in between that time of what God wants in your life? You see? What you going to miss somewhere that maybe God wants? Maybe you got your goal and your sight set. I'm going to retire, and I'm going to do this, this, that, and that, and the other. Are you sure that's going to be the will of God? Or is that you being selfish? I'm going to do this because of your selfish will. What you want to do in life, you see? He said, what if you could feel the will of God move in your life and say, and go, no. Well, my ambitions are lost now. For the last few days, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. I want to yield myself to God to be a threshing instrument of this last day. I wonder if we have in mind, and do we have an ambition? Do we have a desire to be a threshing instrument in this last days? Something God could use to bring on the rapture. Something that somebody could look at and say, there is the life of Christ on display. There is Christ in motion in that body today. Because you're so much like Him. And He has such a great preeminence in your life. Is that the ambition we have? Or is our ambition is to finally make our earthly possession this, or this, that, and the other, or go this place, and I'm going to do that, this, that, and the other? Or is our greatest ambition to do the will of God above everything? We'll see how this fits in. Some young girl that might have ambitions, a fine lady character, or maybe be a pretty little missus, or maybe someday make Hollywood your career. I wonder if you're not willing to now submit your ambition to the presence of God and His Word, and hear the call of God in your own life. God knows who you are. You see? God knows who you are. The young people sitting here today, God knows what your ambition is, you know? But I trust that you'll feel that little call of God in your heart. Amen. I trust the middle age will feel that call in your heart. And the old feel that call in your heart. You know, as I said before, you know, some people think, well, praise God, because of my age, I automatically inherit all God is and what He has. Because I've come through a lot, and I've been to church many times, so I just automatically, it's mine, and, you know, I'm just going to be a Christian now. No, don't work that way, friends. Not at all. It comes by God's grace, His mercy, and revealing Himself to you, and Him expressing Himself through you and me, you see. So in the Church Age book, I want to read something here again. Now, I read a little bit later in this Thursday evening, but I'm going to read a little bit before and then hit on just a couple things that I touched on Thursday evening. For the sake of those maybe wasn't here Thursday night. He says here on page 117, now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There He is walking in the midst of His people. There He is, the chief shepherd of the flock. I'm glad He is. Amen. But does He hold back the persecution? Does He hold back tests, trials, temptations, and all this? Does He hold those things back? No. Does He stem the tribulation? No, He does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I am not at all unmindful of your suffering. No. What a stumbling block this is to so many people. And it's strange that it could be still such a stumbling block to people today. Like Israel, they wondered if God really loved them. How can God be just and loving if He stands by and watches His people suffer? That is what they ask in Malachi 1:3. A burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet we say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. I trust we'll surely be able to today figure out God's love. Because it's, you see, seasoned believers that still don't understand God's love. You say, why do you say that? Because you hear people's tongues say things. It shows they don't. Remember, as the old saying is, Your mouth speaketh from the abundance of your heart. You see? And oftentimes, tests and trials brings those things out. It brings out complaining. And we know we shouldn't complain. We should not be complainers. But oftentimes, it causes us to complain and to murmur, just like the children of Israel did. They thought that love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that his love was elective love. The proof of his love is election. I was thinking about this last night. I thought, my, how true this is. How true it is. That no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation. I'm so thankful for that. I know he loved me because he gave me salvation. You see? He says, his love was proven truly by the fact that we're chosen unto salvation, because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and believing of the truth. Oh, my. And look at the people today that can't believe truth. They talk about grace and be able to see his love for you when you can believe the truth, and so many cannot. I'm telling you, that's love. That is love. Just think of it. Try to, if you're sitting here this morning, and just try to think, what would you be doing today if just maybe, you wasn't able to believe this truth? Where would you be today? Would you be in a Catholic church today, believing some kind of a thing that Mary practically is God and all this other nonsense, and you have to go to some booth and ask some priest to forgive you and then slide him some money? Is that where you'd be? Or would you be some Baptist out there, this modern day Baptist out there today that thinks, praise God, I can do anything I want to do just as long as I take communion on Sunday, so I got to make sure I take it every Sunday. Living like they did back under the law. You see? But God's mercy and grace, his love for you, you are able to believe the truth of the hour. You see? You're able to see that you have salvation by what he does through you, not by just saying, I believe it, that I am. But by what he does through you, you know you have salvation. You see? You see the works take place. You see what happened to you. The change took place. The desire changed and all this. You see what happened. You see what burns within your heart to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see it. It ain't just a mental telepathy thing or trying to something try to conquer mentally that I believe I'm a believer, like so many are doing today. But that don't work. You see? He may commit you to death as he did Paul. And we know God loved the prophet and let him get killed in a crash, an automobile. The carnal mind would think, that just don't seem right, that God would let that happen to his prophet. Paul had his head cut off. Peter hung upside down. And we know for sure one thing, God loved them. Yeah. But why would this be? Can you still not understand it? Do we still think carnally? As Paul said one time, are you not yet carnal? One say I'm a Paul, one says I'm a Apollos. Carnal. Are we still carnal with thinking these things? And then when things happen in our life, we come to the point we just almost get so discouraged, I might as well just give up. There's another old saying, is a quitter don't get nowhere. Yeah. And boy, there's a bunch of quitters in this message. They want to quit over every little thing that happens. Look at many of them, the hundreds of them that quit because God didn't appear. The rapture didn't take place in 1977. Not understanding. You see? Why? God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification. I guess we're dead. It's going down. He says here, all right, well, I guess we'll read that. Because God had chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He may commit you to death as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as he did Job. None of us has ever went through what Job went through. But what would be our thinking the minute we would begin to lose this, lose that, this person die, our children killed, this, that, and the other? What would we begin to think? God already knows what you would think. So it ain't the point of us sitting here trying to figure out what we may think, but he already knows what we'd think. You see? That is his prerogative. It's whatever he wants to do. God is sovereign. He does what he wants to do. But does that mean he doesn't love me? Do I think of it that way, that when these things come along, I must not be bride? God don't love me. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. There's a great chance, friends, that if that happens when trials and tests comes, you don't have it yet. Or you lack understanding. Hopefully just be on the end of lacking understanding it. You see. That's his prerogative. He is sovereign. But it is all with a purpose. Oh my. If he did not have a purpose, then he would be an author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect. Wow. Like I say, I don't know how many sits here today that can look back at things you've went through and see how that what you went through brought you into the will of God. And you never forget it. And now you're fulfilling the word because of that happened. You see? He says here, we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, be established. Established? Yeah. Three ain't a quitter. Yeah. Again, quitters don't get nowhere. I call quitters babies. Because you know, they come to maturity. And they want to give up at every little thing that happens. Every little test and trial comes along, you know, they just, wow, like a little child. And all they get to do is crying, complaining, murmuring. Why this? Why that? Was this, that, and the other? You see? God has a purpose in it. You see? He says, perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled. Settled. Then you can't be moved. You're on a solid rock. It's settled, friends. No moving you away from the word. You're settled. Oh my. As Job said, he put strength in us by these trials, tribulations. Yes. Job 23:6, you see, he himself suffered. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Wow. Now, by God's mercy and grace, I've seen that happen in my life. Learn obedience through the things I've suffered. You see? And now, nobody will change it. No. By God's grace. He was actually made perfect by the things he suffered. Now, if you've never suffered or gone through any suffering, and you ain't going through no suffering, I begin to worry. Because you're missing something. You're missing something that would be a blessing to you. You say, oh, come on now. Yes. You are missing something that will be a blessing to you. Now, we can sit there and say, well, I'd just rather not go through it. Well, you're not matching Scripture then. You see? All right, let's go on. Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The Lord Jesus Christ. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus Christ was perfected by suffering. Oh. And according, excuse me, and according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. Yes. Why did he want this, he says. Why did he want this? Now he reads James. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or different temptations. knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All right? Now remember, he also said, Peter said, that the trying of your faith, or the trials and tests, the fiery tests and trials, is more precious than gold. Now think of that. More precious than gold? Now, to have that kind of thinking, there must be some kind of an understanding. How many times have we had tests and trials, fiery ones, I mean real hard ones, and then think of it being, wow, this is precious. Are you able to do that? This is precious. Then if not, we miss something, right? God don't lie. His word doesn't lie. And you can't change it anyway. He meant exactly what he said. It's more precious than gold. Now, anytime I ever knew somebody, I've never had that opportunity, but anytime I've ever seen somebody come along to a lot of gold or a lot of money, my, they're so happy and so joyous, you know, and just, oh, I can go buy this now, and I can go over here, and I can do this, that, and the other. They're just so excited, you see it on their face. Oh, my. And to think a trial and a test is going to be that precious? Wow. Must be something to this. Yeah. He said, why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8, 17, 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be, or that we may be also glorified together. Wow. Now think of that. Talk about precious. Then he goes on to say what I read Thursday night. I'll just read a portion of it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Oh. You have to suffer to reign. Oh, there's a people, friends, that ought to be moved into that position of reigning with Christ. He says, the reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. It's never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. So it isn't something God's just going to give to you. It comes through suffering. And you watch people that has went through sufferings, real tests and trials. I mean really fiery tests and trials. They got some character about them. Yeah, they got some character. He said, a man without character can't reign. Because power apart from character is satanic. Remember, I read that Thursday night. But power with character is fit to rule. Oh, think of that. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is sit down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. Yeah. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. So we ought to be thankful for the tests and trials and tribulation, temptations. Yes. Because look what it's going to bring. Yeah. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing. There's the thing. That are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Wow. Now again, through the carnal way of thinking about this, you think, why? Just, I think it's kind of normal that the human race, don't they like things easy? Don't they like things going nice? They don't want trouble. I mean, under normal circumstances, they don't want trouble. They don't want anything to disturb peace. They want everything to go easy, where there's no hardships. I mean, wouldn't you rather have plenty of food on the table than nothing on the table? Huh? Yeah, it's just the way human race is, you know. We'd rather have the easy way. Wouldn't we rather have a nice soft pillow and a nice soft bed to lay in instead of having to lay on a rock? Wouldn't we not? The rock's a little hard, isn't it? Awful discomfort in laying on a rock, I'm sure, you know. And wouldn't we rather have heat in the wintertime than no heat? Yeah, well, it's just human beings, you know. Want the easier way. So what God has done for us and what he's showing us is, though oftentimes it may not be the easy and the best and the greatest and this, that, and the other, this is what's going to help us. Sleeping on the rock is going to help us. Not having no heat is going to help us. Our child getting sick is going to help us. Us getting sick and maybe this happening is going to help us. Us not having no money is going to help us. And you may sit and say, Brother Steve, you're crazy. Am I? People are so used to wanting everything nicey-nicey. And when anything comes against that, God don't love them no more. He said he'd be my provider. He's driven off a jar. What's wrong? What's wrong? I must have a problem. I must be lost. I must not be a son of God. You don't have a revelation. You see? I'm sure if the Holy Ghost would pick up his pen and finger and go through the congregation, he'd be able to drop it several places. Say, there you go. You better listen. You better listen. Yeah. But don't deceive yourself now, thinking you're somebody when you ain't. Open your heart. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? Does that seem strange to us? To suffer? Huh? No, sir, he says. And we all have trials. Yeah, we do. Yeah. Somebody tells me I ain't going through trials, I'd worry about you. Yeah. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried isn't of God. Wow. So, maybe I'm sitting there thinking, well, praise God, maybe this is a pretty good thing then to go through tests and trials. Well, it's about time we started feeling that way. Instead of sitting there trying to beat it off and fight it off, he says, Lord, what is your will for me this? What do you want me to do? What's this going to do? How is this going to change something in my life, Lord? I'm open to you, whatever you want. Not my will, but thine be done. Oh my. And we can't sit here and say our Lord Jesus Christ didn't suffer. My, I tell you what. It was the last few days he was upon this earth, friends. It was day after day, just hounding him, just pressing him, pushing him. Persecution, tribulation, hatred, strife. Yes. Until finally it took him to the cross. And then you think of Job, as he spoke of earlier. Job, when's the last time that our children was killed? When's the last time that all of our belongings was burnt to the ground? Everything. When's the last time thieves came in and stole everything? Huh? When's the last time you was covered with boils from head to toe? Last time. There's never been a time, has there? But think what he went through. And still, when his very own wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Thou speaketh like a foolish woman. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh my. Can we really do that? And look at our little piddly trials compared to what these men in this Bible has went through. So minor. Very minor. You may have somebody that just constantly rubs your hide the wrong way. So, it's to build character in you. Yeah. Yeah. You might lose your job. Oh. It'll build some character in you. So what's I got to do with all this? Well, let's just keep going. Now remember, talking about this one that suffered, one of the ones was our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I want you to think about what the prophet is saying here, just to kind of remind you what Satan's going to do. Remember, we started on the three assaults that Satan assaulted our Lord Jesus Christ with. Okay? The first one was, and he called them major assaults. And the first one was the attack on our Lord Jesus Christ to use his power. Here he was, he had the power. He could have killed everything around him right then at that time if he wanted to. He could have made all kinds of bread and ate it. He could have put steak in front of him. Satan didn't win, though. He didn't win. He had something about him he could hold through the test and the trials. The very something that every one of us need. I need to make sure we have it to go through all these tests and trials that's going to take place in this life. But he spoke about how he made that assault. I'll just read a little bit of it so I can move on to the other one. The first he made his attack upon was his great power. This is in How to Overcome, August 25th, 1963. Which he knowed he was the Word. He knowed his position. You believe he did? Amen, he did. He said, I, the Son of Man, he knowed his position, and Satan come and wanted him to use his own power on himself to feed him or want to feed himself. He was hungry. A man gets hungry, he'll do most anything. So we find here he's telling us Satan was trying to get Jesus to use his own power to feed himself. But those famous words, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Satan failed. He failed through it, trying to get our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to test him with this opportunity of hunger to see if he could get him to fail. But he didn't fail. You see? Then he goes on, we'll go on over. Now again, we're talking about what's the people of God coming to? What will they be when he will be able to do anything he wants to do through them? What will they be? Am I prepared for that? Are you prepared for that? Are we ready and yielded and surrendered that Jesus Christ can do anything he wants to do through your flesh? Are you ready for it? Remember, it's all under condition. Let me read this. When he was talking about that first assault on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Oh, the thought runs deeper than what it's wrote. It's inspiration." What he just got done saying about that, what about the Lord Jesus Christ and how Satan tried to tempt him, he said, "Oh my, it runs much deeper than that. It's by inspiration. What is it that I need by this? What is it I need to understand?" You see? And he talks about, you remember me reading it Thursday night, sometimes Satan can take you, and when you think that you're doing the will of God and can make you a proposition, and you'll fall for it. You'll fall for it. How many times does Satan make a proposition and we fall for it? But our Lord Jesus Christ didn't fall for it. Now sometimes through tests and trials, Satan can make a proposition to get you out of that trial. What are you going to do? Are you going to take it away of thinking, well, praise God, this would be a lot easier if I didn't do this? So you kind of try to bypass that, the trial you're going through, and take this easier way. Yeah, maybe you can get out of that, but maybe you get out of that trial, but what you take easier. But was that the will of God? Did you accept the proposition Satan gave you? And then you didn't stay in the will of God. Because many times things can happen like that. Satan can proposition you with things. If he can get you to leave the Word, though, that's what he wants you to do. And it may seem like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. Everything's good. No problem. This is how I can get away from this. Now just think, if he would have accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ would have accepted many propositions that he gave our Lord Jesus Christ. and those disciples. If you deny this Christ, we'll not do this to you. We'll not hang you. We'll not kill you. We'll not take your head off. But they would not accept that proposition. And by not accepting it, friends, oftentimes it brought death. I don't know, I have it with me today or it's at home. But by accepting that, it brought many times death to them by not accepting a proposition that Satan gave them. If they would have accepted it, everything would have been fine. Yeah, everything would have been fine. Just think of the proposition people's going to take on the mark of the beast. They'll accept the proposition and they'll leave the will of God. Yeah. Look, think of the many things, friends. Oh, yeah. Second assault was, he said, just looks like time goes so fast. Next great assault was that he would be, try to make him a show off. Yeah. And how that does hit God's servants to be a show off, to show what you can do. Glory to God, hallelujah, I'm a deliverer, or I'm so-and-so. Come up here at the top of the temple and sit down here. He tempted him to do it. Now remember, he was tempted to do it, and it was hard. Said, now if you want to be something before the people and stand up here on this temple, jump off. And give, he said, and give you a scripture for it, because it's written, he gave the angels charge over thee. He says, unless I dash your foot against a stone, he bear thee up, to make him a show-off. To show his authority. Now, if God were to use us for something, are we going to feel like we're a show-off? Are we going to feel like we're really something? Ah, oh, people know I'm a son of God now. He done this through me. He done that through me. I laid hands on somebody and they were healed. They know I'm a son of God and I'm a believer. False anointed ones do the same thing. See? But he already knows what our attitude would be. Yeah. How would we do if we were able to do many different things and see mighty signs and wonders in our own life? Will we go around like some peacock with our head stuck up and tail feathers straight up and think we're really something? Look at me. I can do this and I've done that. Or would we still have humility we spoke of Thursday night? Real humility. Something genuine, like our Lord Jesus Christ had. Even though the proposition would have made us look really big, and we accepted it. What would we do? See? He says, no true servant of God ever does that. You see a man shown off and his chest out all like that, just remember, there's something wrong there. No, God won't do that. You say, well, he's just talking about preachers. I'm going to tell you, what if his little sister? And maybe the child is going through something. And you laid hands on them and they was healed right there. Are you going to walk around now with a little different strut than you had before? Don't worry, God won't use you because he already knows whether you do it or not. But through these things that we suffer and trials and tests and tribulations, things that goes on in our life, we get away from all that nonsense. And we become just like he is. Yeah. And he knows what it takes oftentimes to knock us down. Oh, it's so easy for the human race to, I see it all day long at the shop, you know. Everybody thinks they're way up here. I got a 21-year-old boy working for me. He thinks he's done body work for 50 years and knows everything about it. And I just turn him loose once in a while. Go ahead. And then he makes a mess. Just to let him see how little he is. You know. And that's the way a lot of young people are. They think they're way up here. They're always trying to tell somebody. They're trying to tell some elder or tell somebody that's older than them and been through the experience. And they're up here trying, oh, this, that, and the other, this, that, and I do this, and that, I'd show you how to do that, this, that, and the other. And they'll just turn them loose for a bit. They'll make a mess. Yeah. He said, Jesus set the example. He could have done it, see. He certainly could have done it, but he didn't do it. No servant of God is a show-off himself. to try to take God's power and show himself above somebody else. You remember Moses did that. Remember, he says God gave him power to do whatever he wanted to, made him a prophet, and walked down to that rock and smote the rock the second time. That was against God's will. You see? God says, speak to the rock. Don't smite it again. You see? But we all know the story. I won't go through that. But anyhow, he goes on to say, a little later, he says, God said, come on up here, Moses, come here. You glorified yourself. You took my power. Instead of sanctifying me, you sanctified yourself. Now you don't go over. You don't go over into land. You can look over, see what it looked like, but you're going to leave right here, see. There never has been a man like Moses, though, see. And he said, but when he come to that show off with Jesus, he said, get up here, temple, and jump off. He didn't fall for it. No, he didn't. The third great assault Satan offered, this is where we stopped the other night. The third great assault Satan offered to forfeit his kingdom to him. Satan said, see these kingdoms of the world? Now listen, pay attention to what he's saying. These are mine. I do with them whatever I want to. I'll forfeit them to you. I'll forfeit this all to you if you bow down and worship me. But remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. If he did, we'd be lost, he said. He could have took the kingdom, but he must come back, see? He was tempted to do it. Now, death is a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth without the cross. But if he did, his subjects would have died, see? Satan would have gladly made that proposition with him. But he said, get behind me, Satan. He didn't fall for it. He come and suffered and took the hard, rugged route. Are we ready for a hard, rugged route? Would we be able to take the hard, rugged route? Brother Steve, you may sit there and say, Brother Steve, you're not normal. I don't want to be then. If this is what he wants, I don't want to be normal. I want to be like him. You see? He come and suffered and took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. Are we, he says this morning, willing to take the same route that he had taken? He asks us. Are we willing this morning to take the route he did? Death? My, everybody wants to live. What about just death to your senses and carnality? Are you really ready to take that route? Where you can't be what you want to be fleshly? Are we willing to die? Are we willing to give ourselves to God and forfeit all the world and the things of the world to serve him? Wow. Are we ready? Really ready for that? My. Well, Brother Steve, if I wouldn't do this, they would think I was crazy. They thought the Lord Jesus Christ was crazy too. They thought, man, the disciples had lost it. Yeah. I said, are you not mad? You know? Now he failed, he says, now he failed to do it willingly to forfeit, Satan was to him, but he didn't do it. See, through Jesus, he said, though Jesus was tempted, he overcome for us. He was tempted, he overcome for us. He endured all temptations for me and for you. He could have took it right then, but what did he take the other route? Why did he take the other route for? So that we could come and be with him. And if he paid such a price as that, excuse me, he said, then how little would we be not to take it? Remember, there's nothing here anyhow. There's nothing here anyhow. That's what he says. If you lived 100 years, what are you going to come to? If we could just keep gaining, and not doing the will of God, missing out on the will of God in our life, what's it going to come to anyhow, even if we live to be 100? He says, what are you going to come to? Mental. if you live long enough, mental. Yeah. Your mind won't be right anymore. No. Your mind will be gone. You'll be all crippled up. Yeah. Old. Shaky. Yeah. He said, that's where you're going. And that's the end of it. But what if I take this way that we're talking about today? Amen. Oh my. It goes beyond this old shaky, mind being gone, all this other stuff is going to happen regardless of how long we live. Because that's what we'll come to. Yeah. He said, you come now and overcome the things. Now. How you do it? By the Word. What the Word says, you do it. He says, walk humble. Live before Jesus Christ. He endured all things for you and I. Yeah. He is our example. Then that means we got some enduring to do. Regardless how bad things get. How big the problem, how great the problem, how messy the problem. We got to do some enduring. Yes. Because in this day and age, ain't much enduring. There's so much complaining, as we said earlier, and murmuring when something happens. Oh my, why this, that, and the other, and just cry around and just all boo-hoo and all kinds of things. Not understanding what it's being done for. And when we do that, tell me, you don't need to hear this. I'll be bold enough to say this morning, you do need to hear this. Or ways to be a little different what they are. Yeah. But brother, you ain't been through what I've been through. You hear that all the time. But the sad thing is, maybe you didn't go through what the other brother went through. We don't all have the same destiny trials at times. It's all different things. You see? But we think because we're going through a certain trial, tribulation, persecution, whatever it may be, I'm the only one who has to go through this. But just what is our thoughts when the problems come? Talk about getting ready for something, friends. Yes. And he gives us examples down through the Scripture, even clear back to the Old Testament, showing us what happened to people that done the murmuring and complaining. Yeah. He is our example how to overcome our evil generation. And oh, how evil it is. It is. As he overcome his evil generation. Remember, when he come to earth, there's just as much unbelief or more than there is at any time. It didn't bother him a bit. No, not a bit. When they called him a devil instead of God. Think of that. Called him a devil. There's people in this message that tells us we're lost. Yeah. Does that bother me? No. Does it bother me? I just pray for them. Pray God will have mercy on them, you see. Amen. When they called him everything that they could, I think of that. Called him everything they could. What if your mother tells you how crazy you are for believing this message? What if your dad turns his back on you because you believe this message? What if your brothers and sisters want nothing to do with you because you believe this message? You going to let that bother you? Oh, my. You going to let that test and trial sink you to where you'll begin to think, well, maybe I ain't right. Maybe I ain't a son of God. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. You really would let that happen. Then you're not stabilized like you need to be. It didn't bother him a bit. Now, remember, he's our example. It didn't bother him a bit. He prayed for him, did he not? Amen. Yes. Even to the cross, did he not pray for them? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. Don't you understand the same thing? They don't understand what they're doing. No, they don't. If they did, they wouldn't do it. But he had an objective. Mine, the Father. keep the word. Oh, hallelujah. Keep it so simple, but yet so great. Keep the word. You see? The word is God. He had one mind. Doing whatever the Lord wanted him to do, the Father wanted him to do. You see? The time's up already. It's terrible. Now we'll finish it some other time. Amen. But hang on to those things at least. Amen. And we'll get through it at his own great time and will. Amen. But I love his word. I tell you that many times, but I do. I honestly love it. The truth is what sets me free. Amen. You know, if I had to live in a world of thinking the people that don't like me and the things I see going on today and this, that, and the other, oh, I'd be so despondent. I'd be so tore up and just this, that, and the other. But I know it's for a purpose, you see. I'm just so thankful that by his grace and mercy, they love me. Because he elected me unto salvation. And by grace, believe his word. Oh, it's such a blessing. Friends, I'm telling you, I'm sure you all probably have got friends or people you know and maybe loved ones, family or something. You would love them to see this. But they just can't see it. But just think, God's grace is that you see it. Talk about love. That's his love for you, friends. That's his mercy and grace to you. So what? We have to go through tests and trials. It's all for a purpose. But don't let it constantly sink you and pull you down and get despondent and discouraged and all that. My. And I'm sure, probably if we was all being honest, probably sometime or another we've had that happen to us. We go through our tests or trials and we get so down and so like everything's so heavy on us and just so pressing down like I don't know if I can breathe. But if you only get the right understanding, it's more precious than gold. Hallelujah. I trust, if nothing else, that little nugget sticks in your heart. Amen. Why don't you, sisters, send me a Smith, if you would, please. We'll just sing a little song before we leave. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Precious Lord. Let's sing that little song I love so well. Yes. Think about his love. Amen. It's on page 6 in this little book here if you don't know it. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Amen. Let's sing it together. Think about his love. Think about it, friends. It's election. Think about his goodness. Forget about the test and trial. You'll make it. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. With our heads bowed, Heavenly Father, oh, how we think about your love so many times. And help us, Lord, to be better soldiers. That, Lord Jesus, we would think about your love when we're going through these tests and trials. That, Father, we'll not be murmurers and complainers, constantly whining around, complaining about what we're going through, or because somebody doesn't like us, or this, that, and the other. But, Lord Jesus, let us think about what you've done for us. And, Father, think about what truly that love is to us. That, Lord, through your mercy and grace, you elected us. You've seen us before there was a moon or a star. Oh, God, before they was ever formed, you loved us. And we appreciate it with all our hearts. And we know, Lord, that if we are given these tests and trials to go through, we know, Lord, that you've made the way already for us to get through it. regardless whatever it is. And we appreciate that, Father, everything. For the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. So it isn't like something you don't know what's going on. But you know, you're very mindful of our suffering. And Lord Jesus, but you had a purpose for it. So we ask, Lord, for understanding that we could be better pleasing in your sight and know these things and live by it. And Lord, be in action in our life. We ask now that thy will be done, Father, trusting that these few words today has helped somebody along the way. But Lord, it'll get us ready for a great catching away. Bless us together now and watch over us. And again, keep us safe is our prayer. Lord, watch over all those that have to drive so far. Just keep them safe, Lord, is our prayer. And Lord, every one of them here today, every brother and sister here in Christ, is such a blessing to us today. How we love each one of them. Pray we'll always be able to help them along their journey. We pray thy will be done now. In your holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May God bless you. Think about his love. Amen. And think about his goodness. And think about his grace. Yes. That has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, yes, amen. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord.